Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Dead Parent Club podcast, a podcast designed to open up the conversation surrounding grief and to ensure young grievers feel less alone. I'm Catherine Hooker, and I speak with young adults from all over the world whose lives have been impacted from losing a parent at a young age. The good, the bad, and the banter. Hi everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dead Parent Club podcast. This week I have Jessie Fryer on the show, all the way from Los Angeles, and I've got to say I recorded this on a Sunday morning not long ago, and afterwards I just felt so positive, and I felt like renewed. Jessie lost both of his parents by the age of 16 and ended up being a ward of the state in America. Listening to him, you never would have thought that life had dealt him such a rough card. He is honestly just filled with so many like amazing snippets of like wise words. He speaks about relating to Lion King memes, about how, you know, the dark place over there and telling Simba not to go. He speaks about how grief is our superpower and how his grief is like his armor because he's been through something so bad, like what else could happen now? And he talks about how his life came full circle and how he used theatre as an outlet for his grief as well as he got older. So yeah, you'll have to give it a listen to find out more. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, first and foremost.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this for a little bit, so I'm excited to be here.
Yay, so good. How did you find us, by the way?
A random search on iTunes. I was sitting at work and I was trying to find something new to listen to. And I just have a bad, I'm really fascinated with grief just in general, just because, you know, as a member of the DPC.
Yeah.
And I just put in grief and your podcast showed up as Dead Parents Club. And I was like, oh my God, yes, this is awesome. And it was so cool. I didn't know exactly what to expect, but I was like, from the name of the podcast, I'm pretty sure I know what this is. It was the only time I hope for something to be kind of about a hard topic. You know, you're like, yay.
Yeah. Awesome. They're talking about the death of our parents. That's exactly what I want.
Awesome. It's so good. I have to tell you, I love the name. I had a friend that I ran into, and we, you know, you have that moment where you're like, oh, you've lost a parent and I've lost a parent, and we both high-fived each other and said Dead Parent Club. And
oh my god, I love that.
It's so awesome. So I'm glad you have this name. It's so perfect.
Oh, amazing. Oh, that makes me so happy. Thank you. First of all as well, introduce yourself. Say who you are and where you're from.
Oh, my bad. We would have probably went through this entire thing and literally been like, my name is Jessie Fryery. I'm a 29-year-old, about to be 30-year-old at the end of this month. A lighting designer that lives in Los Angeles.
Nice. I've been to Santa Monica and like Venice Beach and kind of that kind of area. I did a little trip on my own after I finished my degree.
Oh, no way. Yeah, you went to one of the most like crazier parts of LA,
but yeah, I bet.
Such it's such a weird, I grew up in Florida, so like you get this like whole tourist fun atmosphere, but it's still like such a a good representation of what LA can be. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was, I think I didn't really like LA itself as a place to kind of chill, obviously, because it's chaos. But Santa Monica was really nice, and the kind of beaches and stuff. It was lovely.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I feel like when you meet people from Los Angeles and they're like, oh, I love it here. And you're like, do you really? Like, seriously? the traffic, really? You like that?
Oh, okay. My God,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's great. There's a lot of people here that are really, when you find the really good people here, they're pretty amazing and one of a kind. Yeah. So,
yeah, but it must have been quite daunting moving everything there. Did you know people there already?
I had one friend from high school. Actually, my best friend from high school had already made the trek out. But that was pretty much it. I had a lot of friends planning on moving out here, but I ended up coming out for grad school. So I was right after finishing my undergrad degree. I didn't know what I was going to do, and went through a whole process to find a grad school. And they were like, well, we're in California, you know, like that might not be a thing. You've been in, you know, the South and the East for so long. And I was like, nope, I'll pack up. I'm moving. So I just packed everything up and just went across.
Oh, amazing. I love that.
Yeah. You know, it's been a blast. It's definitely a unique experience. It's so different from, you know, the beaches of Florida to, you know, the weird Venice Beach of LA.
yeah, I bet. that beach is so weird.
It's totally weird. So many weird characters out there. I love it. It's so much fun.
So if you wouldn't mind kind of just giving us a brief introduction to your story, then I know that you're obviously a DPC Platinum member. Which
I have to tell you, I love that you call it that. It's so awesome.
Well, I feel like you have to have your due, you know, like you've gone through some like pretty epic shit losing both of your parents. So if you can't be a platinum member anywhere else, at least you can be that in the DPC.
Right. It's such a weird thing to kind of get like have a little bit of pride over too. Like that's what like first time I heard y'all, I think it was like one of the, I binged a whole bunch of your podcasts. So one of the first times I heard y'all say that, I think it was like probably episode one or two that you brought it up. I was like, this is such a perfect representation of what it feels like when you like meet other people that have lost parents and stuff. And you're like, oh yeah.
I've lost both of them. So.
So like, but you know, it's not, you know, it's not a contest, but you know, yeah, no joking. But it's
it is like trump cards though, isn't it? Like I do get it.
It gets a little, it's interesting when you meet other people that have also lost parents, but yeah, it's fun. I will, of course not fun, but it's a fun way to talk about it. It gets a little bit of levity to it.
Yeah,
All right. Well, I guess wow, I don't even know where to start because it's such a weird and long story for me. So I lost my father first about 14 years ago. So I ended up losing both my parents in about a year and a couple months span of time.
That seems so common.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so odd that it kind of just happens back to back for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was kind of... it, not the norm, but more common until actually listening to your podcast and hearing everyone else's story. I was like, wow, okay, I'm totally not alone on this. This is such a weird and interesting, you know, feeling to have. But I ended up losing my father. He had a car accident when I was about 13 years old that should have taken him out there, but somehow he survived it. He ended up wrapping his car around the telephone pole and then flying out of the window and crawling back to the car, turning it off by the time paramedics came so he didn't get like to have the car explode, and you know, wakes up in the hospital the next day, has this whole new lease on life, decides to do some, you know, some life changes to make it make himself a better person. And then unfortunately he had a complication about a year after that that caused him to have an aneurysm.
Was that kind of directly related to his crash?
Well, we're not really sure, but we're thinking he had something like a blood clot somewhere in his leg that, or somewhere in his body that kind of dislodged after a while and then found its way to its brain, because he was relatively doing good. The doctors were really surprised he was even, again, alive from the car wreck. So he was able to pull through that, and then eventually it just kind of got him. We never really figured out exactly what happened. My grandmother didn't want to dive too far into it, and none of us really wanted to push her to find out. So kind of left it with that. So he ended up passing away when I was, I think, 10 days before my, well, actually, we're about to have his death anniversary on the 12th.
Okay.
He passed away on the 12th, and then about a year or so after. I was 14. I was about to turn 15. Yeah, it was, you know, it was crazy because it was all of a sudden. I really didn't, you know, it was 14. My father and I weren't really close at that time. My parents had divorced when I was like 2, and he had a little bit of a drinking problem, kind of, unfortunately, I think, for, you know, people growing up in the, you know, 80s and 90s before dads really started getting their stuff together. It's like, thank God for hipster dads now. he was a good guy, but just kind of lost his way through a lot of it. And we didn't really get too close. Being a 14-year-old kid, having a dad that he lived in Mississippi and we lived in Florida. Lived in the area that I grew up in there. He ended up calling the week before he passed, and I was being a little, for lack of a better word, a little shithead, and not answering and not talking to him. And then
a kid, basically.
And then the next thing I know, it's my grandmother calling a week later and saying he's passed away. So, it was a little crazy. And then my mother ended up falling sick with an illness called chronic pancreatitis. She essentially, her pancreas stopped producing stuff and, you know, called it quits before she was ready to. And she ended up getting really sick and just kind of losing, she lost a lot of weight and all that. And we found her, she ended up going to the hospital to get checked out because they tried a new experimental treatment to try to see if it would help save her. And it looked like it was going to go well. And then there was a complication. So one day I was at school. Next thing I know, my mom's in the hospital and I hadn't seen anybody. I had a stepfather as well. And I hadn't seen him for about a day. So I was kind of left on my own devices for a little bit. And then I got a call in the middle of the night saying, hey, I'm going to come pick you up. You're going to say goodbye to your mom for the last time.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's great.
Intense?
it's a little intense. Unfortunately, my initiation into the DBC has not been it's never the easiest, but it's been kind of a crash course. It was
particularly cruel, it sounds.
I mean, I feel like anyone, when you lose a parent, you're like, it's never going to be uncruel, you know? Yeah. I have a funny thing that I always kind of go back to as a good chuckle is, do you know Kevin Smith, the guy that made like Clerks and Jay and Silent Bob and all those kind of like weird, goofy movies? No worries. I'm sure if you saw a picture, it'd be like, okay, that's him. He was on a TV show called Face Off for a little bit. They did makeup stuff. And one of the episodes, they were trying to make people into superheroes. And he got asked, he's a big superhero nerd kind of person. He got asked, what makes the best superheroes? And he, without missing a beat, he just said orphans. I was like, yeah, that totally. That's how it feels. I keep joking that I'm a superhero just waiting for my powers. but that's kind of what it felt like. And I think anybody that goes through our experience kind of feels like it's never going to be an easy experience for any of us, but you kind of get tried and tested. And then when you come out the other side, you're like, well, I guess it's not really ever coming out the other side, but
yeah,
you get a little bit of strength and strength for the vulnerability, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
I can't believe how young you were. Yeah. It's kind of weird. I mean, I think your last person you had on the podcast was also like this, but had spent like 15 years of their life already and had, you know, had spent most of their life missing their parents. I'm kind of in the same boat, you know, like 16 and 15, about to be 30. You know, I've spent most of my life now without them, which is crazy to think about. It never kind of goes away, that sense of distance or that sense of or that proximity to those feelings. So it's really odd when you think about the sheer amount of time.
I bet. I mean, I think, I feel like this must have shaped your entire life though, right?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, after my mother passed away, you really find out what, you get a rude awakening to what the world really is when you're 16. And not having any parents, you're like, you find out that adults don't really know what to do either. You're like, especially, I mean, my parents, or my father had family, had a grandmother who lived in Mississippi. And unfortunately, she passed away a couple of years ago. And I had some uncles and cousins there. And then not really many people or anybody that was able to stand up for me in Florida at the time. So ended up finding myself to be a ward of the state for a little bit.
So your stepdad didn't step up then?
Oh, no. I mean, my stepdad, I wish, I'm trying to think of a PC way not to bash my stepfather. Yeah. But unfortunately, I don't know if I get 3 stars for being a platinum member, but he recently passed away too. And I can tell you that, you know, those feelings and those emotions after he passed away were a little different than, say, the emotions of losing my bio parents, because it's like, after my experience with him, he kind of was already gone to me. When my mom passed away, he didn't know how to handle the grief, and he had me as a kid, a 16-year-old kid going through puberty to figure out, on top of trying to be a parent. He wasn't really much of one to begin with. You know, some people, just some people aren't. I think if you pull people of step parents, you know, you're going to get a mixed bag of good ones and bad ones.
Yeah, so true.
He's, you know, he had his own life and his own things. He actually was from London. So it was a little crazy. I always grew up with a little bit of like he always said, the British way of raising a kid, which just meant it was dumb. I don't even know. I think it was just his way to like do weird, goofy things. Like he would say, like, this is a British education, and he would bring, I was a messy kid. I'm still probably a messy adult still. But he would bring in a bin to pick up my toys, but it would be the garbage bin outside. And he'd be like, all right, if you don't pick them up, they're going to go in here. It was like all these like weird, dark sense of satire of it, until I actually started listening to the British comedies and stuff. I feel like I watched Only Fools and Horses as a kid
with them,
and I was like, I totally get a sense of humor now. It's just totally different.
But, I feel like we are pretty weird, actually, in the UK. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love it in the UK. It's so good. You can say like a kind of a dark joke, and no one looks at you like you're completely just, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I get the humor.
Trust me, I've said my first share of dark dead parent jokes, 100%.
I tried to at one point as a way to figure out a way to cope with you know, with all the stuff, making dead parent jokes and doing it as a stand-up routine.
I could
tell you there's no way to make a room go flat than just giving a dead parent joke. You're like
I was thinking like, career choice then.
Yeah, I was like, that's good. Yeah, so that actually ended up, doing that kind of stuff in high school when I found myself in like a theater program. It was bad. I used to, one of the jokes I tried to do was, I know what I'm going to be for Halloween this year. And everyone's like, oh, what? And I was like, I'm just going to wear a sheet over my head and say I'm my parents. And it's like,
oh, my God, I love that.
It's like, I thought it was hilarious and no one else did.
That's so good. That's clever. Like,
oh, thanks. maybe we should do like a Dead Parent Club podcast, like a Dead Parent Club like comedy night, and we just can all go up and just share our dead parent jokes with each other.
Yeah, at least have a room full of people laughing with you, right?
Yeah, right. Well, it's, I feel like that's kind of one of the only ways you kind of get through these experiences. You kind of have to laugh about it, you know, because, you know, I like to think of it, I'm doing the laughing for them. Since they're not here anymore, I have to laugh twice as hard.
Well, so, three times as hard.
Or three times as hard, yeah. It's true.
That's a really nice way of looking at it.
Yeah, try to. I mean, it's, you know, life's already hard enough. It's, you try to make it as best. I have to actually give you a big thank you just by creating this platform for people to talk, and two, just the way that I've heard you talk over the several podcasts about, like, you know, those darker times that come with it, you know, that's really great to hear. And I think a lot of people don't, I think it's one of the reasons why we stay quiet as a culture about grief. Is that, you know, it's really hard to have levity with it. And then when you do have levity, everyone just feels so awkward about it. Cause you're like, oh, you're reminding us that death exists. Oh no.
Thank you so much. You're doing
great.
Look at us all, like, our parents are all immortal, so I don't know why you're talking about it.
Yeah, right. It's never, nothing's ever gonna happen. It's, you know, it's odd. I guess one of the things that kind of got me when I ended up losing him, and, you know, like, as I was saying about you find out adults really don't know what they're doing. I mean, when you lose your parents, it's the first time really for any of us, especially as young as we've all been. You kind of see the world differently. You know, it's, you kind of see your first heroes have ended up falling, and you have to pick up that mantle, or what do you do? Or, you know, how do you even process life anymore when your first examples are no longer there? So
who did you turn to then when you were kind of 16? Like, who was your go-to person just to talk about, like, college and life decisions and stuff like that?
Luckily, I probably, even though I have some of the worst luck in life, I have some of the best luck. After my foster care situation and being a ward of the state didn't go so well, during my mother's illness, I hung out at a comic book store all the time. And the owner of the comic book store really became kind of like a big brother and a parental figure to me at the time. I was kind of an overweight kid and really didn't have that many good friends, and he kind of took me under his wing. And then when my mother was passing away, or actually when my father passed away, he was there. And then when my mother passed away, he was there the entire time, along with his wife, who I call Miss Peggy. And my godfather is Ed. But they kind of took me in. They actually did take me in. So when everything went down, they were really the people I looked to for support. And then it really took a village too. So I had a guidance counselor in high school that I became really close to, Miss Drew. I had my theater teacher that I ended up falling in with. She was there. And then later on, her husband actually gave me my first scholarship to school. So they've kind of set me on my lighting path as a designer. So
yeah,
kind of crazy.
Talk to me about theater then, because obviously you mentioned just before we started recording that was kind of like a big a big thing for you, kind of like an outlet for what you've been through. So, yeah, talk to me about that.
There's kind of, it ended up being, I don't like thinking that there's fate or destiny or anything like that, but theater kind of just fell in my lap. It has a story a little bit to do with my mom and my dad too at the same time. So I feel like it's their way of trying to help guide me, even not being here. When I went to I don't know if you do it in the UK, but we have like a club night thing at some high schools that you go and you meet different activities or after school activities and the teacher that's doing it. And they try to pitch it to you and do that. It was one of the last things that me and my mom did together, my mother and I did together. She went to that night, and I was on a kick to be like my dad at the time, and he was a speech and debate person. So I wanted to do speech and debate so bad. And she's like, well, there's theater over there. And I remember like, Mom, I told you I want to do speech and debate. Just like, I just want to try to get to know my dad like that. And she goes, no, he, and I was like, no, Mom, I'm going to do this. And she goes, okay. And I found out several years later, after when my grandmother passed away, I was going through boxes in his old room. And when I pulled it out, there was gels in there, which is what we use to color the lights. And I was like, I don't remember putting this in here. Like, I didn't have this at the time. And it was my favorite color, which was even crazier. And I was like, that seems really old. And then as I looked through, I found all these playbills that weren't mine. And I was like, my family's from Mississippi, so God love them. Theater isn't one of the first things they all love and enjoy. I was like, how is this possible? And as I went through, I found out that he was a lighting designer and he was a stage manager. I'd never known. I never talked to my dad about theater. I didn't even know he did theater. And I, you know, eventually ended up finding out that I got to be very much like him.
That gives me that tingle. Like, that's it's really nice.
It's weird. It was it was kind of that moment. It was definitely an aha moment that I was like, okay, maybe I did get to understand my dad a little bit better. Because we didn't never have that. I didn't get to have that talk with him as an adult, you know, or have that experience with my parents really being my friends at the time. So it was a nice little circle kind of feeling. I ended up doing theater a year after going to that night. I did speech and debate, found out I was not very good at it, and tried to find another hobby. And when my mother passed away, it was at the end of my freshman year. So they had let me go a month early on bereavement. And I spent the summer kind of off and on my own. My stepfather was kind of gone. I was going through a little bit of me get involved with foster care. So he essentially had a rule, like, as long as I did good grades and I didn't get in trouble, I could just leave the house anytime I wanted. I didn't have to tell him where I was going or what I was doing. So I just was at the comic book store all the time and hanging out with who eventually became my godfather. Ed, and spending time with him at the store.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So he was really kind of like the center point of that. But how I found theater ended up that after that next year, I was like, you know what? I'll listen to Mom. I'll go into theater. And I started improv class first morning. I was a super nervous kid. Mm-hmm. I did not talk nearly as much as I do now. And I just kind of fell in love with the storytelling aspect of it. And at that time, I was in foster care. And I did not want to go home. I did not want to do anything. And the drama teacher, she ended up coming in and saying, we need a light board operator for our show. We just have to have one. Does anybody want to do it? And I just raised my hand. I was like, I'll do it. Like, I don't want to go home, so I'll do it. And I started doing theater that day. And I haven't really done anything else since. So that's 14 wow. years ago, 15 years ago now. I was 14, or no, I was 15, about the turn. Yeah, 15 years.
So. God, wow, that's really kind of, it's funny how you kind of, do you think if you had have wanted to go home or if your situation had have been different, that you still would have put your hand up to put yourself forward for that?
Oh, absolutely not. I think about my parents passing. I don't know if you may feel this way, you know, parents passing is kind of like the last, in a weird way, gift or like sacrifice they make for you, because it's that moment you have to decide a little bit of who you're going to be or how you're going to act without them. So I don't think I would be half the person I am now without these experiences and essentially without this gift, that the kind of like final gift that they've given to me is to kind of carry on. So yeah, you know, I would probably be somewhere still in the South, you know, doing something completely different and not really thinking about it, you know. Yeah. So
it gives you a crazy insight, doesn't it? Like, it does just completely turn your life upside down.
Yeah, for me, it turned my life upside down and in a weird way created a whole new one in itself. It's weird because it's, you know, kind of like how we were talking about earlier. It's the first time you kind of see the world for what it could be, or, you know, you start seeing the dark shadowy places. You know, one of my favorite memes is Simba and Mufasa on the thing, like, you know, what's that dark shadowy place over there, Dad? No, go over there. That's that's kind of how it feels like when you lose a parent, with, you know, being so young, because we hadn't experienced anything really in life yet, you know. So
yeah, you don't think you're going to experience anything that hard for a long time. Like, losing a parent at a young age is just not, it is not something that people think about, like, as even a minute possibility. Like, it's you just don't think it's going to happen.
Oh yeah, I mean, I feel like there should be a cycle to this stuff, you know. It should be, but you know, like, you get a goldfish when you're a kid, that should be the first time you experience, you know, having that moment of what death is and grief. And then it should, you know, even for your parents, it should be like their parents or grandparents. And then, you know, you should be well into your 60s and 70s and, or, you know, 50s and 60s, and you know then they pass themselves and be a parent. When that kind of plan or scheme goes all weird, you know, it does crazy things, but you know, whatever actually goes to plan. So
usually I feel like, you know, in people's kind of like normal lives, their parents pass when they've already got children, so they can already transfer that love and that attention to, you know, their kids, like their parents now. So it's kind of like they're ready for it. But when you lose a parent and there's nobody after you yet, you're just kind of stuck in this like limbo where you're kind of like the only one in the middle of it somewhere.
Yeah, it's totally, it's such a weird feeling, you know, because it's like they're there one second, you're getting all this love and affection, and then it's just gone. So you're like, where's that love and affection, you know, going to come from, or what's that possibility? You know, and I feel like, I don't know if you've noticed it as a trend, but for the people I've known that are members of the DPC, when they start having their own families, it's like that little bit of a hole that feels like it's there gets filled up mm-hmm. with all the love and joy for that family that mm-hmm. It kind of like almost recreates that passion or that feeling that you had with your parents. And it's, yeah. it's such a wonderful thing for to see.
I mean, it's something I'm super excited for, but I'm also scared shitless. Like, I am scared of being a mum without my mum being there for me. Like, it's absolutely terrifying, but I also can't wait to fill that hole that I feel like hasn't, I can't be filled by anything else.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I, you know, going into my 30s, it's like, I want to find that and be a dad one day and kind of be able to have those experiences that I'm not having now with my dad, with my kid, you know, like, yeah. But there is definitely a fear, you know, that is, I think, with losing a parent so young that you don't want to also be that to someone, or at least for me, like it's some I go back and forth about wanting to have kids, but the older I get, the luckily the more and more that fear kind of goes away.
Obviously with, you know, working in theater and stuff, there's a lot of storytelling and stuff there, like
go for it.
Sorry, I was just saying, obviously, in theatre, there's a lot of storytelling and stuff. Like, do you think storytelling is a bit like your kind of coping mechanism from such a young age? Like, do you do any writing yourself, or do you kind of connect with the stories that people tell and stuff?
So, yes and no. I haven't really necessarily done a little bit of writing myself. In grad school, I started a I don't know exactly how to explain it. It was like performance art. For me, I ended up early on in theater. Theater just kind of took over my life, and I threw everything I had into theater. So it was a way, it was a coping mechanism, because it didn't allow me to think much past that. So a lot of my time that I would have been, you know, probably thinking of how my life had turned out, or those experiences, or, you know, the death of my parents, I ended up spending all my time working and trying to create things with other people, even though I didn't realize that was what I was doing. I kind of just thought I was hanging out and having a good time and luckily getting paid a little bit for it. But the long hours and doing all that kind of stuff, it didn't really allow you to sit and think very much until it does. And then it just, you know, it's like hitting a wall. When I got a little bit braver to really dive deep into what it meant to lose my parents, I luckily was in grad school. I went to CalArts, which is our California Institute of the Arts. It's a school that Walt Disney created. Forget exactly when he created it. Right before he ended up passing away, it was essentially a way for, he wanted to bring artists together and let them just go crazy or as much as possible out above North LA. Before then, there wasn't cities out there or anything. It was just essentially the school and the gas station. So they just had a whole bunch of crazy artists go out there and start doing stuff. When I got there, it provided kind of a safe spot to be able to dive into that. And then I ended up meeting other members of the DPC there, and we kind of talked about it, and it was one of the first times we all were able to open up about it, because you meet people that have lost parents and you're not really sure how they're going to interact, because you're like, where are you in your journey, essentially? Like, are you able to talk about it? Like, I don't want to say something to you and have a, you know, have you have to relive any of it, or I do want to talk to you about it and be there for you if you need me there. And you know, it's, even though you've kind of ends up losing a parent, it's great. It's like your episode where, like, the different kinds of friends. Even as someone that's lost a parent, when I have a friend that loses a parent, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
It's so hard.
Like, I wish I had an answer. But yeah, and you know, it's it's such a weird thing. I don't think any of us will ever know what to say. When we were there, we were able to kind of open up and talk about it. So we ended up doing a performance night. I ended up coming out from behind a light board and creating a performance art piece based on my mother. Oh, where it was kind of a duration piece. She loved coffee. She drank coffee every day. Like, she could be going to bed and drinking coffee. It was that.
Oh my God.
That and Coca-Cola, like, she just all the time. And so I ended up doing a piece with it where I strapped coffee around. That sounds so weird saying out loud now, and not being in it, but I strapped coffee around my chest and ended up committing this is gonna sound so weird. A Japanese tradition of essentially suicide. It's the seppuku. It's when samurais ended up taking their own lives because they just didn't know they were they were disgraced, or they did something and they had to do it to maintain their honor. So I always kind of felt like that a little bit with my grief, because I didn't know what to do with it, and I felt like I hadn't at that time been able to really embrace it. And you know, like, your brain goes weird places. So I ended up pretending to commit seppuku on stage and having all the coffee grounds fall out, and I collected them up. And I have a thing about heartbeat monitors. I don't know if other people that, you know, like, when you're sitting in the hospital with your parents for the last time, you're like, just that beat of the heartbeat. It's one of those things that, like, instantly makes me feel like I'm 15 again. Okay. So I ended up having that sound play the entire time. And I created the outline of what was my mother, and as with this coffee grounds. And then I proceeded to make coffee with the grounds. And the piece was, I never got to finish it, but I was supposed to drink the entire bag's worth of coffee through the duration as it was making, and having an audience watch me.
Wow.
As I was doing it, because I was really trying to make the point that no one talks about it, because it's such an uneasy thing to sit with, especially if you haven't experienced it. And I essentially held the audience captive while I tried to relive these moments for myself. And then there were other artists there as well, like my other friends that were members and that wanted to do a piece. One of them was a dancer that ended up doing a piece about his father. Another one was a composer and a guitar player, and he did a piece about his mom. And another one was a playwright who had actually lost both of her parents and had a miscarriage, and talked about her grief and transformation through that. And and then another friend who had recently lost his mother within like 4 months of us doing this, did a beautiful piece, a kind of a movement piece. And then another friend did a piece about losing her father that was like projections and different kind of shadow puppetry. That was really gorgeous. I guess theater has helped me as a way to cope. It's definitely a big part of my life. Not as much anymore now that I've kind of switched to other forms of lighting in my career, but it was definitely something that helped me work out my own story, and then and also gave me a chance to try to be there for other people to work out their stories.
I do find that a lot of people that have been through something traumatic or kind of life changing do turn to like creative mediums as coping mechanisms. I know a lot of people in the DPC, they write poetry, they draw, they do photography, they're passionate about music. I, for one, I have this podcast, which is, you know, it's a creative medium, really. So I do find that we find an outlet, of our grief and kind of ways to invest our time and passion into. And I think it's a massive help.
I think so. I mean, like, when you've when you're given grief, I feel like, but it's when you have this happen to you and you're essentially just given a large weight to carry, and you don't really know how to carry it. You know, it's like, I try to equate it to like, you're just given this lump of mass and you don't know what to do with it, but it's heavy and, you know, it makes you feel bad. And, but eventually, like with time and some thought, you can start shaping it to be something else. And then you're able to use it, whichever form you want to take, you know, like, I definitely feel like my grief is kind of an armor at times, that I can kind of shield the world. 'Cause it's like, I mean, what else can go wrong in my life? I've already lost my parents, you know, like,
you know, you're some like dog shit now.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's one of those things that you're like, you know, it's like laughing at dark jokes and stuff. You're like, oh yeah, you know, people get upset about it, and you're like, yeah, really? That's the darkest thing you can think about? Like, you haven't really seen what's around the corner. But again, I think it's kind of a superhero strength that all of us are given through the loss of our parents. Like, you know, without that, we wouldn't be able to carry the weight, and we wouldn't be able to, you know, possibly be there for other people. Like, it really does become a superpower for us, and it makes it a little less scary, you know. Yeah, at the end of the day,
I think one of the most kind of like precious gifts that we've got from this is that we're able to help other people. Like, you know, at the end of the day, everybody is going to lose their parents at some point. That's just a fact of life. And we are in a unique position where you can offer the people around you support, which I think is one of the most positive ways of looking at it, is that, you know, some people have to go through shit to be able to help other people that go through it afterwards. Like, you know, it's kind of the circle of life in a way.
Yeah, I mean, and if you can't help other people, then really what's the point of it all? You know, it's I'm sure, as most of us as members are, like, you have to sit with it, and you have to really ask yourself the questions that are kind of the darker questions in the world about death and what that's like, and just not the death of, you know, others, but the death of ourselves. And what are you going to do with it? You know, we're given our midlife crisis at, you know, somewhere between the ages of, you know, 15 and 30, like, here you go. Like, what are you going to do? You know, but you know, it's something that's handed to you, and it's how you want to deal with it, I guess. And luckily, you know, with all my experiences and having such a great support group of people, like my godparents, and I really probably wouldn't have made it as well as I did. I'm really thankful, you know, even though I've lost so much, I really have gained a lot too. So
yeah, that's so true. I feel the same. I've lost like the most important person in my life, but I've gained amazing friendships, and I've built stronger relationships with other members of my family and stuff. And I've gained this podcast where I can talk to like hundreds of people every week about losing a parent and offer them some sort of support. So yeah, there's definitely a silver lining through after all of the dark times.
Well, you're bringing a light to the world in a lot of ways. That's why I think I can't applaud you enough for what you and Sam have created, and you for carrying on with it. I mean, it's something that really needs to be heard and really talked about. And it doesn't get talked about a lot because we're, you know, as a society, we're probably more afraid, one, to talk about it because we don't want to hurt others, but we're also afraid that we don't want to hurt ourselves. And being able to openly talk about it without having any stigma with it, you know, it doesn't make it feel as bad, you know, like, to be able to talk about them again and share the joy that they shared, you know, like, I have this thought, I don't know if you had it, like, there's not many people I know, especially my friends now, like, they've never even heard of my parents, they've never seen them, you know their names. So it's like, were they really here at times, you know? And you start thinking about that and you're like, man, I'm missing all these new moments or all these new memories that all my other friends are getting. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really having that. So it's like, are they here? And being able to do stuff like this and being able to talk about it, it's like, no, they were here and here's the proof.
So, oh, wow. I love that. Thank you. That means the world.
Yeah. Well, thanks for like, just, you know, also just being there. It's so cool to actually talk to somebody else that's, you know, like just anybody when you find out they're a member of the DPC, you're like, we're best buds. Like, yeah. You're like, you just instantly become best buds.
Like, it's so true. Whenever I meet anybody out and about, like even like in a club or whatever, and I was in like a work meeting the other day and ended up talking about the podcast, and this girl was like, oh my God, my dad died. And I was like, oh my God. And then we were like having like a 10-minute chat about it, and it was a positive and happy chat, but it just... you have that instant connection and it is so nice.
It's so cool. I mean, it's unbelievably heartwarming to know that, you know, it brings a little bit of that love and compassion back that you feel like you're missing when you're able to do that and really connect to other people. And unfortunately it's through something that is really sad and traumatic for a lot of us. And, but so luckily something good can come from it.
Well, something good needs to come from it, right?
Yeah, well, at least something, you know, like, I mean, come on, it's the least God can do, right? Yeah. So,
we'll finish this with our kind of a hero question then, which is, what would you say to somebody else whose both parents have died at such a young age? What advice would you give to them just in a couple of sentences?
It's hard to even know what to say to them, because it's like everyone's experience is going to be so unique and so, you know, unique to them. I remember, not to go into a full spill and then I'll do it, but one of the stories about my godfather after my mother passed away, you know, I was a wreck. You know, I didn't know what to do. I was a 16-year-old kid kind of left alone in the world. And I was back in the comic book store crying in the office. And he came over to me and he didn't know what to say. And he just looked at me. He's like, your mom's like your Obi-Wan Kenobi now. You may not be able to see her, but she's always there. And, you know, he kind of gave me a hug and then walked out the room. And that moment, that image has been something that I've held on to so much and has meant so much to me. So I think someone that is, as a new member of the DPC, you know, your parents, your Obi-Wan Kenobi, you may not be able to see them, but they're always going to be there.
I love that. That's cool.
Yeah. When he said it, it was the silliest thing. But it's so awesome.
Yeah, that's so nice. It is lovely. And everybody can relate to that. Like, you're mad if you haven't watched those films. So,
right. Every time I hear someone hasn't seen Star Wars, I'm like, you're missing out a whole part of your life. How, like, what is your worldview if you haven't seen Star Wars?
Well, Jesse, thank you so, so, so much. This has been such a lovely way to start my Sunday morning. I'm feeling really positive and really good, so thank you.
Oh, awesome. And that I'm glad to hear it, and thank you for letting me come on. I'm like I said, I'm really excited, and thanks for letting me share my story with everyone. And that really does mean the world to me, that you know try to bring a little bit more light to the world.
Well, I'm sure your story will help so many people, and like I've said, you know, just having a male on and to tell his story is amazing, because I'm just trying to reach more and more and to open the conversation with guys as well. So thank you so much.
Oh yeah, anytime. And I'm like I said, I think there's more of us out there listening. I'm sure hopefully more of us will be reaching out to talk, because like you said, everyone has their parents. So
before you go, guys, Jesse actually sent me a message a few hours after we recorded this episode, saying that he felt like he didn't give his godparents enough credit for just how much they supported him after both of his parents passed away. And because of that, he actually recorded a little segment that he wanted to share with all of us guys on the DPC and with his godparents for being such incredible people. So here it is.
I wanted to give a special thank you to my godparents, Ed and Miss Peggy. I know I really didn't get into it much on the podcast as much as I meant to, but I wouldn't be here today without the two of you. I know I'm on here talking about the grief of the loss of my two parents, but I, again, wouldn't be here without the parents that I gained. So thank you so much for letting me be a part of your lives and still being part of mine. That really means the world to me. Thanks, Kat, for letting me come back on and do this fall. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Dead Parent Club podcast. I so hope that you've enjoyed it and you found some comfort in the stories that you've heard here today. As always, I would just like to remind you that neither myself nor any of the guests that come onto the show are healthcare professionals. Therefore, if you do find yourself struggling with your grief, I highly recommend that you seek out professional help, whether that be from your GP or from the numerous charities out there that are available to you. Please also remember that you can reach out to us at any time on Instagram at DPC Podcast, on Facebook at The Dead Parent Club, and you can email us at dpcpodcast@hotmail.com. Alternatively, you can check out our website where a resources page is also available at www.dpcpodcast.co.uk. Also, please don't hesitate to contact me if you want to get involved in the podcast in any way, whether that be coming onto the show or to write a blog for us as well if coming onto a podcast isn't your thing. Thank you so much once again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.